This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Scott, thank you for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure, JR.
Now, we have seen the situation basically play out over the past several years. We've seen how the A's have behaved when it comes to payroll over the past 20. Was there anything that was ever going to stop this?
No. Once, this has been going on for, what, 19 years since Fisher bought the team. He bought the team with his then-partner, Lou Wolf. Fisher was the main investor. He bought the team as a real estate gambit. That was the only reason he bought the team. He didn't buy it because he loved baseball or loved winning or anything like that. He wanted to parlay it into a real estate killing. And Lou Wolf convinced him he could do that. And they tried to do that for years. And finally, Lou bailed out. And Fisher kept trying. But that's always been the thing. It's always been a real estate gambit. And never anything about baseball. Never anything about winning at all. Never anything about being true to Oakland, or rooted in Oakland, or any of that stuff. It's been rooted in Fisher's pocket.
Scott Osler is here with us from the San Francisco Chronicle, and he's not by himself in this. Major League Baseball just kind of stood on by and said, "Oh well, let's just hurry the hell up on up and go to Vegas." The fans in Oakland got fed a pile of you know what for years now.
Yeah, that's one thing I've tried to stress all along in my writing and everything, JR, is it's not just Fisher. He couldn't have done it by himself. MLB and Rob Manfred and the backing of the other owners made it possible. They've all been in on the scam, on the grift, or whatever you want to call it. Manfred, you know, when there were negotiations between the A's and the city of Oakland when they were working on the Howard Terminal project, which was a multi-billion-dollar project and all this stuff, they were trying to make that happen. Manfred constantly and to a ridiculous extent took Fisher's side, and to the point of belittling Oakland and Oakland's officials and Oakland's politicians and Oakland's mayors, especially the most recent one. He made them sound like a bunch of fools, and you know, he made it sound constantly like, "Oh, look, these idiots are going to chase the Great A's out of town." And so he was definitely aiding and abetting the whole show.
Well, Scott, we certainly know this is unfortunate. The Oakland Athletics are going to Sacramento before they ultimately relocate to Vegas. We have seen the Warriors, once they found success, move back to the other side of the bay in San Francisco into the Chase Center. And we know the Raiders, they are now full-time in Vegas. We know they are not ever, ever probably moving from there. When you think about Oakland as a major league sports town, any of the big sports, are those days over?
No, I don't think so. For one thing, this is not totally far-fetched. The deal in the A's deal in Vegas is far from wrapped up. Many, many hurdles, many ways that thing could fall apart. So conceivably, you know, that could fall apart, and they could come back to Oakland and try again there. Another possibility, anyway, is that, let's say, the A's do pull off their move to Las Vegas, and in two or three years, MLB decides to expand by a couple teams. I think Oakland would be a viable candidate for expansion because there's at least three ownership groups right now that would invest and build a ballpark and everything in Oakland. And there's a fan base and everything. You know, you're talking about Nashville and Portland and places like that. They're viable places, no doubt, for expansion consideration, but Oakland would have to be, I would think, as viable as most of those cities. So
yes, Scott,
I don't think that's out of the picture.
Well, Scott Osler's here from the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, that has to be music to some people's ears that you think that sooner than later, you think we'll get I mean, I don't expect an NFL team. I don't think we're going to see an NBA team. You think that more likely than not, at some point over the next maybe 5 to 10 years, we'll see another professional baseball team in Oakland?
I don't think it's out of the possibility. I don't see why Oakland wouldn't be as realistic and viable a candidate as Nashville and Salt Lake City and some of those other places.
What can, quote-unquote, smaller markets learn from this experience? You know, I brought the fact up earlier in the show that when you think outside of North American sports, when you look at some of the influence of fans when it comes to football in other parts of the world, the fans would literally boycott. They would literally stop. The owners fear the fans. When you think about North American sports, it's a difficult thing to do to get everybody on the same page. What lesson is to be learned here for other markets outside of Oakland? I don't know. A smaller team in Charlotte. I mean, is there a lesson to be learned for other teams and fan bases?
I don't know. I think one lesson would be, if you're going to get in the business in bed with MLB, you got to be prepared to be bullied and kind of heavy-handedly treated by the power structure, you know, just like Oakland is. And we're seeing it in other cities, too, where baseball is essentially saying, and not just baseball, but a lot of other sports pro teams are saying, you know, build us a new stadium or we're going to leave, or rebuild our current stadium to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, or we're going to leave. So it's a ongoing kind of a legalized heist, stick up. And I think that was kind of the case here. You know, MLB kept saying to Oakland, give Fisher more money. Give him more money. You're not giving him enough money. They didn't say it in those words, but that's essentially what they were saying. And that's how any team, that any town that's going to get into the MLB pro baseball business is going to face the same heavy-handed tactics.
Based on what we have going on in Kansas City right now, the fans out there, the taxpayers, I should say, of Jefferson County, they pretty much said, no, we're not going to finance your brand-new Kansas City Chiefs Stadium. We just heard and know that the mayor and the politicians in the Bay out in Oakland said, hey, by the way, we're not welfaring you a new stadium. Do you think people may have caught on in that regard to just say, hey, we ain't paying for it, you do it?
I've been hoping for years, and I think I'm kind of sensing what the Kansas City thing is a good example, that there could be a trend to that municipalities, cities are getting smarter, and they're saying, we're just not giving these guys, we're not making them richer when we don't need to. It's their team. Let them buy their own stadium. Stop telling us we're stingy because we're not emptying out our education and other funds to fund your baseball stadium. We're seeing that in Las Vegas, possibly, you know, where there's a teachers union that's trying to put on the ballot whether or not the A's are going to get their full promised payment up in Las Vegas to build their thing. And if the teachers are successful, that will go on the ballot, and then we'll see the same thing maybe as Kansas City, because the indications are that the people of Nevada might not be down with giving $380 million to the A's. That'll be very interesting. So I think, and I hope we're seeing kind of a revolution in this kind of stuff, for some sanity coming to the situation, fiscal sanity.
Scott Osler joining us for the San Francisco Chronicle. To wrap things up here, Scott, the Oakland A's, the Athletics, I should say, they're a mess. We don't know.
Not the Oakland. They're taking Oakland off their shirts.
Yeah, we know that. They're just the Athletics. Yeah. We don't know for sure how many years they're going to be up in Sacramento. Could be 3 to 4 years. We don't have a shovel or a brick laid down in Las Vegas.
Not close.
They are. Are they not a nomadic franchise just sleeping on a couch? How is this even allowed? I know why it's allowable, but they're just up in the air right now.
Yeah, I get the outrage. And I think that what's going to happen is Fisher would love to get out of the business. I think he's kind of maximized his profits, the money he's made on this team over the years, as you know, how much it's gone up in value and everything. And I think he'd like to get out. He would like to build a stadium first, or at least get one started, so that will increase the value of his franchise so he could sell and get out. But, you know, if things fall apart in Vegas and you know, it's going to be more money and more legal fees and all that stuff for him. Maybe he'll finally decide, you know, I've had enough of this stuff. I'm getting out.
Wouldn't it be a wild story if he had to? And I understand that, too. I think he wants to dump it in Vegas and then he wants to sell.
Yeah.
It's clear as day. Wouldn't it be one hell of an end if he had to kind of take a couple of L's? Of course, he's going to walk away with a win financially. But wouldn't it be nice if he took a couple of L's and had to come on his hands and knees back to Oakland? Wouldn't that be a story?
I think it would be wonderful, yeah.
Hey, Scott, do me a favor.
You know, he's kind of insulated from the real world, his world of rich people and stuff, but it's kind of trickling up to him. I think he's getting tired of the abuse and the dislike that's coming his way increasingly, which he's earned.
He deserves it. If he has to come back on his hands and knees, do me a favor. Scott, I'm asking you, can you write the book? Will you write it?
I'll write the book.
All
sign
right.
me up.
Thank you so much. Scott, where can people follow you and all of your amazing work with the San Francisco Chronicle? And I also know that you're an author, so please tell us where we can find your works.
Okay. You can go to, sfchronicle.com. To read my paper and my work, and you can catch me on Twitter at Scott Osler.
Well, Scott, thank you so much. Go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. You got a good grasp on the situation. I can see that, so I appreciate the talk.
No, well, Scott, man, I try to know what the hell is going on. They pay me for something, but you're the
I see. They pay a lot of people for stuff that don't always deliver. So.
Oh, no, there's a lot of idiots and jackasses out here. I try my best to not be in that category, Scott. Hey, listen, we look forward to chatting with you as this situation continues. And hopefully next time some positive news coming on out the Bay. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you, JR.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.